Welcome to the World War One at Home podcast with me, Helen Mark. For terms and conditions, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts. Dame Lane in central Dublin was once home to Healy's, one of many printworks across Britain and Ireland, to benefit from the booming business of producing military recruitment posters during the Great War. Ireland's unsettled political situation at the time of the war led to a different approach being taken to recruitment, as Professor David Fitzpatrick from Trinity College Dublin explains.
We're standing outside the Stag's Head pub in Dame Lane, which used to be the site of the Acme Printing Works, the works where one of Dublin's biggest printers, Healy's, produced many thousands of recruiting posters during the Great War. Probably 2 million of these posters, at least, were produced and circulated around Ireland. By September 1914, Irishmen flooded into the enlistment offices. Now, initially, there was more supply than the administrative facilities could cope with in both Britain and Ireland. So much of the business of trying to set up local recruiting committees and organise rallies, parades and propaganda was in private hands. And gradually the War Office began to intervene and try to coordinate these. Initially there was no separate Irish organisation, but in April 1915 it was decided to set up the Central Council for the Organisation of Recruiting in Ireland. Subsequently, something called the Department of Recruiting in Ireland was set up in October 1915. And the last great effort of having a specifically Irish recruiting campaign was in 1918, when Ireland, unlike Britain, escaped conscription, although it was threatened. So it's 1915 and 1918 that you have the concerted effort to appeal to the Irish imagination to respond to specifically Irish demands in propaganda, including recruiting posters. Well, we're about to move about a few hundred yards down the road to Trinity College, which houses one of the major collections of recruiting posters. Now, the fact that recruiting was somewhat sluggish in Ireland, although not so far below British levels as many have assumed, meant that a special effort was made to try to tailor the propaganda to Irish preferences. Now, I'm looking at copies of some of the posters that were produced. Have you any women folk worth defending? Remember the women of Belgium joined today. So that's fairly explicit, but it shows a woman of Belgium who is remarkably like a black-haired Irish Colleen. And that appeal to Catholic sympathy for the plight of Catholic Belgium was extremely important in convincing members of that church in Ireland that the war was their war. On average, about 5,000 of each of these would have been printed, and in some cases up to 40,000 to be stuck on walls, not merely in offices and recruiting depots and so on, but stuck on hoardings, competing for the popular attention with circus ads and the like. The poster showing Irishmen avenging the, asking Irishmen to avenge the Lusitania. So Irishmen avenge the Lusitania, join an Irish regiment today, is, I should say, a somewhat unrealistic rendition of a ship engulfed in flames. It has actually leapt out of the sea like some enormous whale or porpoise. And as it has done so, a large number of men and women have leapt off the ship and are swimming with remarkable power and grace towards possible rescue, although many hundreds of them were not rescued. Looking back at these posters, one is tempted to say, ah, how quaint and naive these marketers were. And certainly, they seem to have demanded a lot more of those looking at them than would be tolerated by today's public. Some of them contain hundreds of words of information. Others contain visual images which have to be decoded, hidden shamrocks, scarcely perceptible, which have to be searched for. Now, that may reflect the vulgarization of society since 1914 to 18. We simply can't manage that anymore. It may also reflect some inability on the part of the producers of posters to relate to your average potential recruit. As far as a poster propaganda campaign could be successful, they did a pretty good job. But we should never imagine that it was propaganda alone which drove people into the forces. Propaganda never works beyond a certain point. And I think, although some of them go badly wrong, some of them do genuinely appeal to what mattered to potential enlistments. They're appealing to these deeper loyalties, which alone could dissuade them to do such a desperate thing as join the forces in the midst of a terrible war.
Healy's Printworks in Dublin. To hear more stories and find out more details about the war, go to bbc.co.uk/World War I.